Okay, fine. Okay, so this sugya, is it related in any practical way to Psak Halacha? It's an interesting question. The question of Akirat Davar Min HaTorah, Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, whatever, right? Of Chazal, Anavi, Sanhedrin, any posik, depending who you ask, his ability to uproot things from the Torah. It's an interesting question, what it means, what doesn't it mean, does it apply in any practical way? If people are up to it, we'll do two parts on Akivas Rav Minatara. Today we'll do theory. Next week, for those of you who think it's never applied, I'll give you three 20th century chuvos, which all use some form of Akivas Rav Minatara, Islas Lashem Epir Sarazecha argumentation. One being very famous, which is the Sridei Eshes Chuva on Kol Isha, which is very, very famous Chuva. People forget that that's what it's based on, or partially, or complicated, very complicated. We'll see. If people are up to that, up to that, or no? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay, whoa, okay. Fine. So, to sort of sketch out, though, even though, let's say we don't use it so often, which I would hope we don't, why this is an important topic halachically, I'm going to talk for about a minute about one of the most interesting thinkers we've ever had as a Jewish people, Maariz Chayes, right? Who is?
Maariz Chayes.
Who is he? Okay, holds the distinction for having the for being the only person in Shas Bavli with a PhD. Right? Very, 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 very interesting. Maariz Chayes. So Zvi Hirsch Chayes, or Chadges, as it's spelled. Mid-19th century Germany. If you want to know about his life, you can read the dissertation written on the Maariz Chayes by Rafutner's daughter. Whatever her name is, but Rafutner's daughter. That's what I know about it. I have not. Again, he's a totally fascinating thinker. So, he's a fascinating thinker, and everything he writes is fascinating. Among the fascinating things he writes is one of these most incredible works, called Torah Nevi'im. This is the first, 100-something pages of this book. This is called Kisvei Maariz Chayes, Chelek Aleph. Okay? And it goes like, the introduction goes like this. I am going to write about Akiras Davar Min HaTorah because I look around, and there are all of these reformers who are being Oker Davar Min HaTorah, who are uprooting the Torah. Now, why are they uprooting the Torah? Because they don't believe in the eternity of the Torah, they don't believe in the divinity of the Torah, they don't believe in whatever, but they don't believe in the sort of absolute nature of the halachic system. So they're literally just uprooting the Torah. But he admits there is such a thing called Koch Nitni V'Yachacham Lakar Darpam Min HaTorah, B'Shev V'Altaseh, B'Kum V'Aseh, whatever. We'll get to the details in a minute. There's a notion of a Navi being Oker Davar Min HaTorah. There are such instances in which it's perfectly legitimate to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah, to uproot something in the Torah. So he writes a book, and never has there been such a Lumdish polemic ever written. He writes like a very complicated Lumdish work on Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, Bebezdin, Benavi, the nature of Hara'as Shah, etc., and a bunch of other things, also Shev Mitzvei Noach and Din Melech, and a whole bunch of interesting things, to polemicize against the reform movement and changes in halacha. Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, I cut out some of the lumdas here because it's a really fascinating sugya in lumdas also, and really, really quite complicated. I cut out some of it and left as much as I needed. But in addition to the lumdish issues and just the formal issues, how does it work, what does it mean, etc., obviously, what runs through the sugya in a very real way is the philosophical or sort of perspective issue on how do you view the halachic system such that it makes sense that there's a mechanism called Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. If you remember, we talked about, all the way at the beginning, the problem of multiple positions in Torah, right? If you think there's one truth, so you should keep it. Why? What does this mean? There's machlokas. What does it mean? Eil ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The problem raised by Akiras Davar Min HaTorah is much more egregious. Right? If you think the Torah is eternal, and you think the halachic system is eternal, in any, no matter how you construe that, so what does it mean that under certain circumstances we could simply uproot it? So I want to go through the sugya a little bit with keeping that in mind, sort of perspective-wise. And admittedly, this is not going to lead in any really direct sense to methodology, but it will lead to perspective on how halacha works or how we conceive of the halachic system. Really, the only reason I'm giving is because I was asked to give it, but that, I think, is the justification to give it in this context. Okay, so the main Gemara is about two blot in the middle, in Parakei Sharab and Yavamos. I cut out parts of it. So where it goes like this. Does Beis Din have the ability to uproot something from the Torah? So Shalach Rav Chisda L'Rabba B'yad Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna. V'ein Beis Din Masan L'Akar Rav Huna Torah. Is it not true that they have the ability? I skipped some of the Shaka V'tari in between. V'atanya. I'll show you a case where we do. Me'imasai Adam Yoresh Is Ishto K'tana. From what point can a person inherit his wife as a ktana? So we have three positions. Okay? So the Gemara, if it says Beishamai, let's go back to Beishamai's Shita, who says Omrim Mishitamid Bekomasa. So where does that mean that he holds that at an earlier point in the marriage, Mishatamid Bekomasa Ava Gavdol Nechnas Al Chopa, even though they haven't actually had a Chopa yet? So where says, no, Ema Mishatamid Bekomasa Vikiviti Kanes Al Chopa. Vahachi Gamrele Veshamas Vil, Dukam Mirtu, Mishatakanes Al Chopa, Iamda Bekomasa Mahani Le Chopa, Vilo Lo Mahani Le Chopa. Fine. Rilazra Mishati Boyal. I have Amr Rilazra Ain Mysak Tana Klum. Ema Mishatagdil Viti Boyal. I, how could she have bia, she's a ketana, it doesn't mean anything. Okay, when she gets older and she has bia. Ketani mias, so after all this dion internally, we don't have to get into all the details. The Gemara says, look, isha ketana, we said the husband inherits her. V'hacha demiraisa avuha yarish la umidirabanan yarish la baal. But here, there's a problem, because midiraisa, the father inherits the girl. Because there's no real marriage, because she's a ketana, right? Midrabanan, we say the husband inherits. So how can you do that? Doesn't that show that Chazal can uproot something from the Torah? So the Gemara answers, no, Hefker Bezdin Haya Hefker. And the Gemara says, no, that's not. No, we'll bracket for a second the question. That's not either Akiras Dovrim in the Torah at all, or alternatively, that's not a classic case of Akiras Dovrim in the Torah. Hefker Bezdin Haya Hefker. Bezdin has control over money. Yeah, Reuven.
But doesn't the circumvention at least prove there's some concept of the character of the Torah?
Well, maybe. Meaning, if you think Hefker Bezdin Hefker is some other mechanism, right, that Chazal just control money, so it doesn't matter. Meaning, it's not a brooding of the Torah, right? If I...
But Chazal, do you have more power to...
No, if I owe you money, so I'm Chayiv Midaraisa to return it to you. Right? Priest Bachov Mitzvah. If you waive the loan, I'm not chayav to you. I didn't circumvent anything, right? I just, right, that's it. We can argue, was I mekayim the mitzvah, or did you, right, make me putter from the mitzvah, or whatever, but, right, but if I owe you money and you say I don't, so that's it, it's over, I don't owe you money.
This is the case of Beit Din saying you don't owe money.
Okay, so depending on how you understand hefker bezdin hefker, again, hefker bezdin hefker, and in the end, this is not clear, and I discussed this more when I did Hefker Bezdin Hefker, not here. I gave the Shir Migdalos 2 weeks ago. But in Hefker Bezdin Hefker, the Maskan of the Mar is unclear. It may be that Hefker Bezdin Hefker is a function of Akiras Dovrim in Torah. It might also not be. Right, the Rambam seems to think it is, and this is developed in the Tshuvas HaRitva and Tshuva Kufpei. That is one way of looking at it, but there are other ways of looking at it. You can listen to my Shir on the topic, or ask me later, whatever. Preferably listen, because then I don't have to say it again. Also, like, I spent an hour and 20 minutes on it or something like that. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Tashma. Dam shenitma vizarku bishogeg urtza. If you throw dam and you do zrikas hadam in on a karban, and it's tamei, when it's tamei, and you do it by shogeg, so then it's urtza, meaning it's something, it's bechaper. Right? Bimezid lo urtza. But not if you do it on purpose. The Gemara says, I va'achad min raitza artuyi maratze. But if min daraitza it works, Ditanya, because we know that the Braisa says, Amatzitz Maratze, what does the tzitz forgive? Al dam al bazar al chelav shenidma ben mishog ben mezid, ben beonis ben ratzot, for that which became tamei, ben biyachal ben mitzibar, va'amri rabbanon lovers, and the rabbanon say it doesn't. What does that mean, right? What's going to happen if the Zrika didn't work? What do you have to do? If you're a Chayav Karban, you have to?
Bring another
Karban. What's the problem? If you're not Chayav in the second Karban, you're bringing Chulin Lazara. You're bringing non-Kachim into the Beis HaMikdash, which is Aser. So isn't this Akira's Dabra Nadara? So Amar Yosi Brachanina, no, Milo, what does it mean? Lord, Amar Lahatir Basar Bachila, Al Bailam Niskap Rubo. It doesn't mean you bring another Karban. It means right, you don't eat it, right? Meaning we don't allow you to eat it. So if Sarakum is Akra Achilas Basar, but still you're being Okir, the mitzvah of Achilas Kachim, Uksiv, Achlo, Samasher, Kupar Bohem. So he answers, Shevi al ta'aseh shayni. Passivity is different. Now, how do you read that? Right, Shevi al ta'aseh shayni, what does that mean? It means one of two things. Right, the Gemara's question was, does this prove Oker Davar Minat Torah? Because you're going to prevent someone from eating the basar when it's technically mutter, and therefore you're mavat al mitzvah of achilas kachim. Right, so then the Gemara answers, Shevi al ta'aseh shayni. What does that mean? One of two things. Either right, meaning this is a case of Akira's Dafa Minat Torah, but it's passive, and therefore Chazal, Uvda, have the power to uproot the Torah passively, or it's not Akira's Dafa Minat Torah because it's passive. Right? Okay?
Doesn't that say something about the nature of what I say in general?
Rega, just reading the Gemara. Amarlay. So then he says to him, boy, Lusvuch, I was going to ask you, Arel, Haza'a, V'Ismail, Tzadim B'Tiftis, V'Kivtat Tzeres, V'Shofar, V'Lulav. I was going to ask you all these cases. Some of these you should recognize. Do you recognize any? Right? Some of them should be recognized. Shofar, Lulav, what is that referring to? Xer Darabah, right? That you can't, because of we don't let you do it. Okay. What? Okay. Right, so the Gemara gives a bunch of examples and said, I was going to ask you these 6-7 cases. Had Stradishan Islam, but once you answer this, Sheva al Tasa Loma Akarhu, that Sheva al Tasa is not in uprooting. Kulunami Sheva al Tasa, and you know, all of these are not a problem. Right, if you're just thinking about Xer Darabah, it makes sense. Because they're only Sheva al Tasa, they're only passive. So then the Gemara says, but wait a second. Tashma, Eilav Tishma'un, you should listen to the Navi. Afilo Omer Lecha Avor Alachot Mikol Mitzvah Shebet Torah. Even if he tells you to violate any of the mitzvahs. Kigon, Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel. What happened to Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel? Bama. Kachim Bachutz. Things like that. So Gemara says, Hakol Lefi Sha'a Shemalo. Anything that's necessary for the time. Listen to him. So Gemara says, so isn't that Akira's Dabra Minat Torah? Now, note that the Gemara equates either legally, philosophically, conceptually, something. Akira's Dabra Minat Torah, Binavi, and Bebezdin, right? They're the exact same thing. So Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, Tichsev Elav Tishmun. A Navi is different. He can even be okay, bit, Kumvase. Veligmar Mine. Why don't you learn from it? Meaning that we can also be Oker Davin HaTorah even become Basay. Gemara says, Migdar Milsa Shiny. Protecting the Torah is different. Now, this seems to... Now, Migdar Milsa Shiny can mean, again, one of two things. Either, in a Hanami, we paskin Akira's Davin HaTorah even become Basay is Mutter if it's the Migdar Milsa. Whatever exactly Migdar Milsa means. Right? Or, alternatively, there's Akira's Davin HaTorah and then there's something which is beyond Akira's Dabra Minat Torah, a new mechanism, not related to Akira's Dabra Minat Torah. I don't know how that'd be exactly, but this is in fact claimed by some of the Rishonim, which is Migdar Milsa, right? We need to protect the Torah, that's something different. So then the Gemara continues, Tashma, Bitlum of Vutal, the Rebbe is saying, Lomar in Yochel, Lovatal, Lozval, Tano, Ela, Imke, Makoch, Bezdin, Yavavach, and the Rezab, Batal, Ged, Shum, Makoch, Bezdin, Kashrin Eishadish La'alma, right? One of the cases where Bezdin says that even though Midoraisa get is Kayam, Bezdin says it is. The other way around. Midoraisa the get is bad, Bezdin make it good. So isn't that a Kirsa Ventura? The Gemara says, Mandam Kadish, Rabban Mekadish, Bafkin Rabban Lakidushin. It's Afkina Rabbanu L'Kedusha Mine, which again may or may not be a function of Akira Stavra Menatara. It's not clear what that answer is. Amar Le'Ravina L'Rabashi, Hatei Nechta Kadosh B'Kasba, Kadosh B'Via Maikla Meimar. You should have seen the sugya at least 60 times by this point in the year. So the Gemara says, Shavir Rabbanu L'Vinos L'Vinos Nos. Then Tashma, Amar Elazar Ben Yaakov, Shamati Shebezdin, Makan Mon Shalom Menatara. I heard that Bezdin punishes extra legally, not to destroy the Torah, but to protect it. There was once in the time of the Greeks, there was someone who rode his horse on Shabbos, which is an Isser. And they stoned him. Not because he deserved it, but because the time needed, Vishuv Mice about them Echad, another one Shetiach Bishar Takalatina, who slept with his wife in public under a fig tree, the punishment being nothing, right? It's just prust, it's just minuvo, right? Vavila Bezin Veilku, they brought him to Bezin, they beat him. Lomim Nation Roy Lakach, not because it was worthy, El Shah Shah Lakach. So again, doesn't this prove Akira's stuff from the Torah? So the Gemara answer is Migdar Milsa Shiny. Okay? So, we have here the Gemara, this is the main sugya, where we present this notion of Akira Sefer Menatara. The Gemara says, does it exist? So first, the Gemara tries to prove from Hefker, Bezin, Hefker, and then it rejects it. It's not clear, the Maskana, is Hefker, Bezin, Hefker a function of Akira Sefer Menatara or not, or is it something different? Then the Gemara says, well, brings a few cases, by Kachim, and Mila, and Lulav, and etc., and says, what about these? And the Gemara says, look, those are Akira Sefer Menatara, but they're Shevi Altase. Now, either they're not really Akir Sarvim and Atara because they're passive, or they're Akir Sarvim and Atara but they're Shevi Altas and therefore it's Mutter. We'll get to that in a moment. Then the Gemara says, but don't we have a case of Akir Sarvim and Atara even actively by Elio? So the Gemara answers Migdar Milsa Shiny and says the same thing by Makan Motion Shalom and Adin and the ability of Bezdin to be Mafkiya Kedushin. Again, Migdar Milsa Shiny, and that again doesn't tell us whether Migdar Milsa means that you can even have a Kirsav Min HaTorah Bikum Vaseh L'Migdar Milsa to protect the Torah, or if there is some other mechanism working somewhere out there. Okay, that's Sugya 1. Sugya 2, Gemara and Brachos, which is closely related. So the Gemara there says that there is a takana that people should always greet each other B'Shem Hashem. So my the Omer, the Gemara says, "V'chi tema boz midai nafshei kamar tashma Hashem imcha gibor achayil v'chi tema malachu degamar legedon tashma altavos ki zekena imcha v'Omer." So first we try to figure out who was gozer, and then the Gemara says, "V'Omer eis lasu l'Hashem eferu sarasecha." They instituted this because it was a time to act for God, so they nullified the Torah. So Amar Rava. Haikra mi reisha l'seifa midrash, mi seifa l'reisha midrash. You can read this pasuk in both directions, meaning front to back, back to front. Mi reisha l'seifa midrash, you can read it in order, like this. Eish l'azos l'Hashem, it's time to act for God. Mai ta'am, why? Mishum efer sarasecha, because they nullified your Torah. Mi seifa l'reisha midrash, you can read it from the end to the beginning. How heferis arzecha? They nullified your Torah. My time. Why? Mishum is lasas l'Hashem, because it's time to act for God. And then the Gemara continues with things along this line, which are not actually akiras arvan Torah, but it's the same idea, which is Tanya. Brayza says hilazakin omer b'shash machnisen pazer. When people are hoarding Torah, spread it to the world. B'shash mefazrim. When they're spreading it out too much, kanis, bring it in. From Risa Doisha Torah Chaviva love, if you see that people love Torah, Pazer, Shanamar, Yunvadim, and Ophiz Vod. From Risa Dorisha Eina Torah Chaviva love, Kanes. And if people don't love the Torah, bring it in. Shanamar, Islas Los Lashem, Efer Zarazacha. And Dorish Berkapra, Zulas Kos Minamina. Okay, skip that one. Amra Baishma Minav, Azir De Isgvar, Taman Lavar, Pshita. Okay. Then the last line, Dorish Berkapara. Ezu parsha ketana shekol gufei dorot luyin ba. What is the pasuk that the whole Torah relies on? B'chol derechecha da'ehu, in all your ways know him. V'huyi yasher chosecha, and he will straighten out your paths. Amar Rava afilu lidvar avira. And this is even for an avira. Okay, so we have two related concepts that exist. One is esas l'Hashem eferet sarasecha. The other is akir sarvan Torah. They're probably the same thing, or at least closely related. Okay. So now let's just talk about some of the distinctions here, okay? So first, the Gemara distinguishes and says, we can be oker dovra min haTorah b'sheve al taseh and not become vase, passively and not actively. Okay? So, what are two ways of looking at that? Why would Chazal have the ability to be oker dovra min haTorah passively and not actively? Well, so one way is simply it's less serious, meaning it's actually a kiras dovra min haTorah, but Chazal have the power to be oker lavim or mitzvos at this level and not at this level. Passively telling you to violate the Torah is, you know, law is problem level 5. Telling you to actively violate the Torah is problem level 8. And Chazal do not have the power to violate something at level 8. Only level 5. It's a question of Chomer, but fundamentally, passive Akirot are, in fact, violations. They're Akirot. Now, what's the other one?
That if it's the Sheva Tasa, then offended, nothing has happened because you haven't taken anything out of the Torah.
Exactly, right? And if you put here, I didn't give you the whole Kovei Taharos. If people are up for reading the whole Kovei Taharos, it's a wonderful Kovei Taharos. You should know, when I learned this sugya, it took me 2 weeks, day and night, to learn this sugya. Partially because I read basically the whole Maariv Chayos, so like on it, so like that took a while. It was a very, very complicated sugya, and to track everything down is really quite impossible. But the Kovei Taharos is easy to find, it's right there in Yevamos, Simuch Samach Tez. He raises these two possibilities, right? The difference between passive and active Akiras Dovra Min HaTorah is either, one, they're both Akiras Dovra Min HaTorah, it's just that Chazal have power at level 5, not level 8, or alternatively, simply Mamela, it happens by itself, meaning when it's passive, it's not actually Akiras Dovra Min HaTorah. Chazal told you, tie yourself to a chair, right, and let the Torah, right, not be kept, right, that mitzvah not be kept, but you didn't uproot anything. The Torah has been come home, you were just derelict.
Can we equate Akiras Dovra Min HaTorah life and Baal Tikra?
Of course. Meaning, philosophically, yes, they are clearly connected, and philosophically and halachically, yes, we will get to that. But hold that thought. Okay, now what's the nafkamina between these two things is going to be something which is defined fundamentally as either as a shevi al tasa, you just happen to violate it actively, or alternatively is, you know, meaning, I'll take a step back. If you say it's about mimela, right, so it's about whether this is technically now being done actively or passively. Or if you think it's about Chomer, so it's not about technically how I'm violating it now, it's about the nature of the love. And you could theoretically have something which is a passive Isser, which I do actively, or an active Isser, which I do passively. Right? So Tosos has the following case. Right? If I have, let's say, tzitzis, right, I put on a beged without tzitzis, a four-cornered beged without tzitzis. Right? So is that active, or is that considered active, or is that considered passive? Right? Remember, this is one of the cases, the tzitzis case. Right? What? So on the one hand, it's an isra se, right? So bimihus, it's passive, meaning I am currently wearing a beged without tzitzis. But on the other hand, if Chazal were to tell me to put on a beged without tzitzis, then the actual physical action is active, right? I'm putting it on, right? So this is actually a machlokas. Tosfos says that it goes by the practicalities, right? And therefore he has to come up with some other explanation of why this wouldn't be a problem, because he thinks putting on a beged without tzitzis is in fact an active violation of the Torah. The Shagas Aryeh, and also Rabbeinu Brachia Achiv Shel Rabbeinu, like Yom Tov Milondiras, I think it was, is in the Kovet Shitzes Kamai. What? Whatever, he's a Rishon of some random Rishon, I don't know. But so no, right? Putting a beged without tzitzis is bimehos at its core passive. If you'll notice, I gave variations of this at different points, so I decided to make your life easier. Instead of giving you all the sources, I give you an outline, and some of them we'll do inside and some of them we won't. But all the Makoros are here, referenced for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No, that makes me feel so good. Okay. So the first question you have to wonder is that, right? Is it about Chomer, or is it about that Chazal can put you in sort of in a They can bind you to not do something, so they're not really being Oker Dovermen HaTorah. They're simply, right, freezing you. And Mimela, the Torah is Batel, okay? Now, it does seem to be that this is Shitati across the board, a Machlokes Chachmei Ashkenaz Chachmei Sfarad, and in a very, very nice article by Rabbi Tani Cohn, which, since it's recorded, I won't say who's sleeping. Hi. who teaches at MTA, Top Share in BMK, has a very nice article. I think it was in Kol Tzvi, maybe it was in Beis Yitzchak, was a quarterly. One of YU's journals. They all look the same. But I have it on my computer somewhere. Shows how if you go Chachmei Ashkenaz, Chachmei Sfarad across the board, and that includes Ashkenaz going into the early pre-Rashi German writings, and Sfarad going into the Gaonim, like literally across the board, you will find that there is a Shitati Machlokas on this question that manifests itself in the Sugya of Baal Tosif, that manifests itself in Akir Sarvam HaTorah, and yes, there are legal implications for that, but again, that particular prod, if you want to read that, good, but let Nashir Zevatzad. Okay, so now what I want to focus on is, well, why, whatever Akira's Dovermen HaTorah means, and at the end we're going to get back to whether you can be Oker actively or not. But right now, let's talk about why. Okay? Because clearly the average case is Akira's Dovermen HaTorah passively, but it still needs justification. Why are Chazal able to, under any circumstances, be Oker Dovermen HaTorah? Right? The philosophical question. If the Torah is eternal, if the Torah is absolute, if you remember, right, we talked about at the beginning of the year, right, or a while ago, I don't remember. No, when we did Psikara Chavishat Chak, right, what Rav Aaron quotes from Cardinal Newman, right, the Catholic Church would rather see the sun and moon fall out of the sky and all the world die, most painful of deaths and in agony and starvation rather than see one poor soul, I would not say whatever. Get damnation, but steal one poor farthing, something, something, something. Right, at some level, if you believe the Torah is eternal, so like, what could possibly push you to be Oker Dovermen HaTorah? Ariel.
If you have, when the other contradiction between what's written in the Torah and one, or what way you understand the Torah in one case versus another, even if it's just a value, that value could push you to be Oker Dovermen HaTorah.
See, that would be very strange, right? To be Oker Dovermen HaTorah, because, right? I mean, well, actually, what do you mean by that? Meaning, the Torah doesn't have internal contradictions of, I mean, might, but internal tensions of values it has. Contradictions, right?
There might be a certain case where two different laws apply and one has to take priority.
Okay, but that wouldn't be Akir Sovan HaTorah. That would just be normal rules of, this is Docha that is Docha this, right? That would be a balance of values. Oker Dovermen HaTorah just says, Torah says X, I do Y, right? Eliyahu gets a parakarmel. I'm not supposed to have a bama b'chutz, I do.
Whatever you say, there's always going to be a reason for that kirat avin Torah.
Yes, there's going to be a real reason, but that's why I'm pushing it. So, right, so what, right, sharpen it, right? What would justify uprooting something in the Torah? Right, meaning, that would not, put it this way, that would not fall under the normal rules of, let's say, Asi Do Chalos Asei or something. Right? Asi Do Chalos Asei also, there's a contradiction of values, right? Right? I mean, Asi Do Chalos Asei, as the Gemara says, right? The Torah says, don't marry your sister-in-law. It says, Yibum. Right? Asi Do, well, whatever. Masha, right? Shtayim Diber Elokim, Achaz Yushamati, Masha Iev Shar Lepet Ledaber, Ve'ozen Lishmoa. Whatever, that, right? Yeah. Get Reuven? You had something?
Yeah, I mean, what could push is that you could say it's like inherently it's a system that's built into the Torah.
Okay. Right. Yes, but we'll flesh out on that, yeah.
It's Mitzvah's change in some way, shape, one that now brings to light some sort of like conflict between, I guess, a value and a.
Okay.
Or worry about the long term fulfillment of the Torah, so better. Just, like, better one Shabbos than a lot of Shabbos, so better to get rid of one
mitzvah
than to get rid of
a lot of good. Okay, all of these are going to come out in sort of related forms as we go through the sources, okay? So the first suggestion is the Rambam's and Matthew's, right? Which is basically Svara Pshuta. Now, the Rambam actually quotes the halacha that Matthew quotes. So let's look. Now, I've made this very simple for you. In fact, the Rambam... his main discussion of Akira Sarvam HaTorah is in Perek Chav Dalet from Hilchos Sanhedrin. He never says that, though. In Perek Chav Dalet Hilchos Sanhedrin, he quotes Hefker Bezin Hefker and Makin Mamshin Shalman Adin and Afkin Rabban L'Kedushim Minei and all those things, and that's it. And he never says the words Akiris Sefer Netar. He never mentions it. Later on, in Hilchos Mamrim, when he's talking about Akiris Dover Midirabanan, suddenly he talks about Akiris Sefer Netar and sort of backhandedly tells you that Perek Chav Dalet in Hilchos Sanhedrin was about Akiris Sefer Netar. So that's what we're reading. So he says, V'yesh lebezdin lakor af dvarim elu lefisha. Bezdin can uproot these things temporarily. Even if the second Bezdin is a lesser Bezdin than the first, so that Derabbanan will not be more than Divrei Torah, as much as Afilu Divrei Torah Yesh L'chol Bezdin L'akra Horasha. Any Bezdin has the power to uproot the Torah if he needs to temporarily. Ketzad, for example, Bezdin Shara L'chazek Adas. Bezdin who wanted to strengthen the religion, and make offense, Kadeshalo Yavro Amal Divrei Torah, Makin Vonchin Shalo Kedin, beat him. Aval Ein Kovan Adar L'Doros, but don't set it for generations. For Omer Shalacha Kachu, and don't say that the halacha is this. Now, I want people just to pay attention to that phrase because I don't know if you remember earlier in the year. What does halacha mean?
Law.
Yes, I once put into Google Translate an article on Vahalacha V'drachav, it was halacha v'musar, which was translated ethics went. I was like, great. Okay. But what? Yeah. I understand. I don't know if you know that from the bumper sticker or the rap song or both, which is the rap song made by the Benny.
Okay.
Sheeran sticker. Great song. Okay. Fine. What is the difference between halacha and halacha l'maaseh? In the Gemara. Yeah, halacha is the theoretical Torah, right? And the Gemara says in several places that right, you ain't ovdin, ain't osin maaseh, right? You can't actually act on something until someone tells you halacha maaseh. Clapper always likes joking that in rabbinic terminology, practical halacha is a contradiction in terms, because halacha is not practical, halacha is theoretical. L'maaseh means practical, right? Halacha l'maaseh means theory taken into practice, right? It's okay. So don't set something forever, shehalacha kachu. Right? You can't do it forever, meaning you can't change the theoretical Torah, right? You can change the temporary implementation. And if you see temporarily that you need to be mevatel mitzvah or violate a mitzvah, whatever, to protect people from, and keep them doing the Torah, you do what you need to do. Ukishem shaharufei choteich yado o raglo shel zeh kidei shiyichya kulo. And just like a doctor, sometimes has to amputate to keep the whole body alive. Kach bezdin morim bezman min azmanim lavor oktaz mitzvot levisha kidei sheyiskaimu kulam kederach shamru chacham reishonim chalav shavas achas kidei sheyishmar shavas harbe. And therefore, sometimes Chazal have to uproot the Torah, violate one Shabbos to keep all the Shabboses. Okay, so the Rambam basically says, what's the makor for Akiris Dover Min HaTorah? Svara. Right, straight logic, which is, right, Chal of Shabbos Ach is also a Svara, right? Which is, you want, sometimes a doctor needs to amputate to protect the body, right? It's a Svara.
But Akiris Dover Min HaTorah implies it's permanent.
No, it doesn't.
This is the
Jus of Rasha. Yes. Or Rasha, right? And that's what, in fact, the Gemara talks about also, right? The Gemara said explicitly, Hakol Fisha Shemalo. Right, temporarily listen to him. Right, if it's forever, right, don't.
So what about things like Zero Drama?
What's the difference between this and Shadat Chak?
Ah, so Shadat Chak doesn't uproot the Torah. Shadat Chak pushes us to interpret the halakhic system in a certain way. Right, Kir Zeron Torah is actually suspend the Torah.
It's just a matter of degree, you know?
At some level, yes. I mean, this is obviously much worse because you're actually violating the Torah, right? Unequivocally, right? Okay. Now, you should note something, though, about the mashal, right? The Mashal teaches you two very important theological points. Right? So let's think about the Mashal for a second. Right? In order to protect the Torah, I amputate a limb. So let's take an example. He brings an example of Makanon Shin Shalom and Adin, right? Someone violates a Derabbanan of Shabbos, and the generation is bad at Hilchot Shabbos, so I kill him to protect Shabbos. Now, fit it into his mashal. What's the problem?
You can't re-put a leg back on.
Well, that's one problem with the mashal, yeah. But leave that one aside. The problem is that in order for the mashal to work, you need to assume two things. One is that all of Klal Yisrael is one body, and two is that all of the Torah is one body. Right? Because I'm killing Shimon, which means I'm violating Ritzicha on Shimon to protect Reuven and Levi's Shemir Shabbos. Right? In order for the mashal to work, both the Torah and the Jewish people have to be connected such that it's justifiable for me to violate one lav against one person to protect other lavim for other people. So that's what the Red Baz points out here. Right? The Kshem Sharazik Choteich, Eina Mashalu Tzodek, Elam Kenan Roen, Kol Yisrael, Kilehim Gof Echad, the Alpha Bisha Gufim Mulchokim, Kevin Shinish Mosem, Makam Echad, Chutzvah, right? It's all poetic, right? It must be one body because their soul is union from one place. Harem Gof Echad, Kenesham Huya Eker, because the soul is one. Vidaze. We did Rabbeinu Nirisha, Mashal Hu Al Mitzvah, Shehem Ki Gof Echad, Ubezdin, Mevatla, Miktas, Kedil Kaim Ashar, but Mashal Tzodek, Vishnead Rachim. And it's right according to both things. Okay, a similar svara, and this is what Maritz Chayes points out, and I won't read inside, this is the next source, is sometimes, and without getting to the complicated or the parameters of this, the Gemara says that you can say, chateish kidei sheyizkeh chavercha. Or the Gemara says, ein omrim chateish kidei sheyizkeh chavercha. And then sometimes it just tells you to violate a law to prevent someone else from violating the halacha. What the parameters are, that is really complicated. Well, Maritz Chayes points out that conceptually it's the same thing. Right, that sometimes it's better to protect someone else from doing a greater lav, right, by me doing a small lav. Right, so again, the exact same two-tiered considerations you see. The Jews are united, they're suffer, I can violate to protect someone else, and I can do a minor avera to protect someone else from a greater avera. Right, same basic notion. Okay, so that's possibility one. Possibility two, which is very radical, is that the Rashba is that basically it's something like an Avira Lishma. Right? It's not just like a Svara. It's, you know, sometimes, now it may be related to what I just said, right? But he phrases it. It's actually a sin, but sometimes that's what you got to do. He doesn't explain why, right? But if you look at the Rashba, the two chuvas down here, I don't know why this is out of order. There must be some reason historically. I don't know, maybe there were multiple authors of this document or something. Okay. I mean, just me. Deutero-Zering or whatever, yeah. Or the three Chesk, whatever prophet is. Okay. So you look at the Shudar Rashbi here, and hey, Reish Lamed Ches, he says, V'dem HaShe, He Shavzi L'Chachem R'Yakov Ben HaGazem, V'al Yishuv, whatever. Da, kiloshon, racha tishbar garem. Soft language will break bones. Ulum kol miyashir v'yashir, panay derech lefnei am, lahashir mechshalat, am latzarech, laos minakol chamura. Sometimes to protect people, you gotta go from light to heavy, whatever. V'inolun kol v'yacha, not all damage is the same. Echor kavanas alev v'dvaram amurim, echor kavanas alev v'dvaram amurim. Everything goes after your intent. Kari adanta mashakosiv v'nazir, v'dol avir l'shma mitzvah shol l'shma, kol shken anu she'en banu koach, midintara lajin v'ni nefashas, avlin and knazas, el tzorech hashah, right, so it's a form of avera lishma. Right, now again, this might be related to the svara. It's just a different nisuach. Third possibility, also the Rashba quoted in the Beis Yosef. And this is really very strange. Is that the Gemara says that lo chriva Yerushalayim. That Yerushalayim was destroyed because people were makbid on Din Torah. Now, that's usually understood to mean that people didn't do pshara, right? Everyone was makbid to get exactly what they deserved, and they would never budge. The Rashba says it means they didn't use Akiras Darav and Torah when they needed to, right? They always lived Alpi HaTorah. Okay, that's the Chuvas Rashba before. Okay. Another possibility is that it's not a svara. And this, I was talking to Ray Waxman last night, he asked me, he's like, does anyone say this? I'm like, well, yes, in fact, they do. It's if, by Navi, it's a function of a Lav Tishmun, of the Pasuk, and by Bezdin, it's a function of Latesser. Right? Meaning one Chazal and the Navi are imbued with the ability to tell you what to do. So the extreme expression of that is sometimes they're allowed to tell you to violate the Torah. Now, again, we can say these are all related. Why are they allowed to tell you to violate the Torah? Obviously, to protect the Torah b'chol. But it's not just a svara, right? They need a pasuk to back them up. And this is the position of the Rashba. And, well, a lot of chachmei svarad. And that's the next source. He's talking about a very interesting halacha, which I was discussing at breakfast with people last week at some point, I don't know why, that if a woman comes to you and says, comes to her husband and says, I committed znus. So midaraisa, what's the halacha? What? Midaraisa. No, midaraisa. If you know your wife was mizana, what's the halacha? Midaraisa. Asura. Now what happens if your wife tells you that she was mizana? You don't believe her. Why? What?
You don't want to.
Migo.
Why would what?
You know?
What?
Migo?
what? Could have not. Why not? What if you believe her?
I could have. Well, Migo.
Why didn't you have done it? What if you believe her? Why not? Why not? Why not?
No, she has a chazaka, so she can't break
it. Why did she believe her husband? Do you believe your wife? Wait, none of you are married. Would you believe your wife if you told her something? If you told you something less controversial, like I don't know, I accidentally made the food treif, like, and threw it out. You know, whatever. You would. So there are different explanations giving for it. The Rashba, the Chachmei Svarad would say, oh yeah, it's akira stuff from the Torah. Really, 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 she's usher to you. But Chazal said, look, if we allow a woman to do that, what's going to happen? She's going to want to get divorced, so she'll just tell her husband, oh, I committed to this, and then I'll have to divorce her, and then she'll go do whatever she wants.
It's amazing if we just undo right? The
so the Rashba just said, Akira Sermana Torah, right? It's very simple. We'll make you not married, right? Or whatever, Akinu. So there was no problem, because she wasn't Mizana, so you'll remain married. It's a very strange Rashba, admittedly. Too bad Yaakov's not here. He would appreciate this Rashba. Spend a lot of time on this again, I know. Right, and that's what he says here, right? He says that it's Mishum Migdar Milsa, Tikkun Achives, and Lakar of Menatara, Kol Hesed Ika, Mishum Migdar Milsa, Gidizu Biyavamos, etc. It's a very strange position. Ramosha goes so far as to say that anyone who believes his wife is not Bikaris. It's a very impressive tshuva. I don't know how we got that far. Very impressive. And uvda, this is what we do. Like, if you ask rabbis, I remember when you're doing pastoral psychology, this is how it came up last week. I asked, like, Rabbi Willig. It's like, somehow we actually tell women, like, let's say a couple comes in and says, and the woman says she was mizana. So now, we have a halachic problem on our hands and we have a serious marital problem on the hands. So how do you solve marital issues? You tell them to?
Talk to a counselor.
What's the problem? Is he's never allowed to believe her. Because if he believes her, right, now I'm going to like Trey, any of you who got to Samachem and Beis, right, if he believes her, Samachem and Olive and Beis, right, if he believes her at any point, then she's usher to him, right? So we send them to a counselor and we say, talk it out, but don't believe her. It never happened. And this is how we play the game halachically. What? No. Meaning the husband can't believe her. If the husband ever believes her, then he has to divorce her. So they have to talk about their issues. You know, you have to like reframe it. Like, why would you lie? What is so wrong with your marriage that you would lie and claim you were a mizana? Something like that. It's really quite an impressive halachic feat. Well, I don't know. Whatever. So anyways, you continue in the tshuva. So he says that... six lines down. They're not doing it of their own accord. They have the power, right? That's the mitzvah of Lutasar. Okay. The Tajmeit similarly implies in the next tshuva that it's just a function of Chazal's general ability to set up takanos. Okay, so that's the basic explanations. The, I think, most creative of all explanations is Rav Elchanan in Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, where he says, there's a famous stira. Rashi, Alei Torah quotes, Lo tasur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha yaminu small. Everyone knows the next words in Rashi, which is? Afil omr l'chay yamin, shu smol v'asmol shel yamin. Right? Even if he tells you right is left and left is right. What's the problem? He's quoting a midrash halacha, but it's beferish against the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. In Arius. Right? The Bavli explicitly just not in the words. The Yerushalmi goes farther and says, Yochel omr l'chay yamin shu smol v'asmol shel yamin, Talmud lomer l'tazer v'nadavar shay gizl chay yamin v'smol, Rakim omr l'chay yamin shu yamin v'asmol shu smol. Right? Yes, it's pretty bad. So Rav Elchanan says, I have a solution. If they tell you that this is what the Torah means, so, Rakim omr l'cha yamin shu yamin v'asmol shu smol. But if they tell you to go right when it's left because they're being okir davar min haTorah, afil omr l'cha yamin shu smol v'asmol shu yamin. Okay. Wonderful. So those are the reasons, right? To chaz the reasons, and they're all related, really, right? There's the svara pshuta, which is the Torah is an organic whole. The Jewish people are organic whole. Sometimes you need, because the Jewish people and the Torah is sick, whatever, you need to amputate one part to save the rest. Or it's a function, it's like an Avir Lishma. It's a function of L'Charvi Yushalayim, El Shemita Din Torah. Or it's a function of Lotasur, or Bezin's ability to set up zeros. Or Lotasur V'Nadabar, Shegid L'Chaim Enu Smol. Okay? Now continuing. Alright, so now, the Gemara had said that, look, aren't there certain cases where you can be Oker Davar Min HaTorah even actively? So the Gemara said, Migdal Milsa Shiny. So the Ritva points out, both here and in his Tshuva and Kufpei, that there's two ways of reading that. Right? And if you look at the Ritva, he says, V'nigra Minei Migdal Milsa Shiny, Perish Rashi Zal, Shiny Hasim Shashukin Lasus Gedder V'takanel Chol Yisrael K'vazeh Yishivum Evot Azorah V'chein L'kaman Shei Yoprutzim V'arayas Oshim Zalzim V'shviz HaShabbos Av Amalo V'yishvei Elam Migdal Milsa Shiny Klomer Del Olam Shaper Garmini Minei V'tarit Hachi D'hazim Migdal Milsa L'shav Alakar Dav Menatar L'doros Lo. So there are two different ways of understanding Migdal Milsa. One is to say, look, Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. There's no such thing as Akiras Min HaTorah actively. Right? Akiras Min HaTorah sometimes, especially in the passive sense, we can actually set up takanos, and they could go for a long time. Right? That you can't do actively, because there's a different institution, which is, when push comes to shove, there's something called Migdal Milsa Shiny, right, which is, the Torah is so under threat, you can even actively violate it. But there, as a normal rule that Beis Din could implement, besides for under the most dire of circumstances, for any extended period of time, right, there's no such thing. There's Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, which is only Shevi Al Taseh, and then there's Migdal Milsa, which once in a lifetime, you've got to pull it out, right? Elio Bar Carmel, pull it out. The other explanation is, no, that there's Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, both B'Shevi Al Taseh and B'Kom Vaaseh. The only question is, right, normally you can do it only, right, passively, right? But if really push came to shove, right, the same types of takanas you could set up, of Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, B'Shevi Al Taseh, you could even set up B'Kom Vaaseh. Okay? And it hangs on the lashon of Ella, right? Do you say Ella or not? Right? Does it say Ella Migdal Milsa Shiny or Migdal Milsa Shiny, right? Is it that which you're talking about, namely Akiras Davar Min HaTorah? If it really, really needed it, you could do it actively. Or is it saying there's a totally different institution called Migdal Milsa? Okay. So now, the right, Gemara says that Akiras Davar Min HaTorah can only be l'shah. It can only be temporary, not l'doros. Now, the problem is, right, that if you come back to our cases, right, like tzitzis, or like lulav on Shabbos, what's the problem? It's l'doros. So how do you solve that? So there's two main ways of solving it. One is to say, right, or Shevi Al Taseh, right? One way is to say it's not Akira, and one way is to say that it's not Lideros, right? So, one way, which is taken in the Rishonim, is that if you remember, we said, there's a machlokes, what does Shevi Al Taseh accomplish? Does it make it not an Akira? Or does it make it an Akira, which is just less Chamor? So if you think it's not an Akira at all, right, then the real answer of the Gemara is, Akira's Dover Min HaTorah is mutter in Shevi Al Taza because it's not really Akira's Dover Min HaTorah. And therefore, if it's only passive, it could even be forever because you're not being Ogre Dover Min HaTorah. Right? The other way to say it is, no, it really isn't Lidoros. Now, how could you say it's not Lidoros? Because in fact, it is, has been Lidoros. So this is what the Maariv Chaya says is, well, what does Lidoros mean? Right? There's two things that Lidoros could mean. Right? Lidoros could mean
forever.
Forever, or
for a long time.
For a long time. Now, what, and the same thing is true of Lisha'a. Right? Lisha'a could mean
a little bit of
time. Or
forever, starting with a
Litzorech Hasha'a. As long as it is needed at that point in time. So the Maariv Chaya says, no. Akira's government at Torah is mutter as long as it's needed. The only thing you can't do is be ochre government at Torah even when it becomes unnecessary. Right, but if it's necessary for hundreds of generations, it doesn't matter. As long as it is still necessary, it is it is much. Now, where does this all come from, though? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So, back to the case of Lulav and Chopra, are Arabin widespread enough that now it's not an issue, or like that they're still learning?
You're asking me whether it's not a problem because they're Arabin. This is a joke, right? Come on, Manhattan exists. Okay. Yes, Shulchan Aruch says under many circumstances because we have no Rishus Rabban Bizman Hazeh, we can remake all this and this and this and this. Good question. Nanech Hazeh. Okay. I don't think it's true. I think there is Rishus Rabban Bizman Hazeh. Now, the fact that the Beis Yosef didn't have it has nothing to do with 600,000 people or anything. It has to do with the fact that the old city of Tzvat, which you were just in, is not a Rishus Rabban by any qualification. Right? It's windy. There are buildings everywhere. Right? Every single they're not 16 amos wide. Everything. That's probably what the he was thinking about? Okay. Fine. So now, philosophically though, what's going on? Right? What is behind all of this? Right? What stands behind this whole thing? So, coming back to Matthew's point, and this is the Kesher to Navi, this is source 6, look at how the Rambam phrases it by Navi. Davar baro mafurish b'Torah shehi mitzvah omedes la'olam la'olmei olamim ein la loshini v'lo giron v'lo tosefes. The Torah is forever. There is no addition, no subtraction, no nothing. Shne'emar is called davar shanochim mitzvahes kamav son tishmur la'asos lo zif alav lo sigrami menu. Because of? How do you, right, what mitzvahs prove that the Torah is eternal, Matthew? What did you say before? Bal tosef bal tigra. Right, lo zif alav lo sigrami menu. V'ne'emar v'aniklo lanu v'ninat olam lasas is kol ha'divrei ha'tarazos ha'lamata shekol divrei Torah mitzuvim anu lasas not olam, which means that we have to do the Torah forever. V'chinu omer chukat olam d'ar d'echem v'ne'emar lo b'shamayim ha'lamata. So what do you learn from this? Right? You listen how the Rambam phrases it. What do you learn from Bal Tosef and Bal Tigra? From the fact there's an isser to add or subtract to the Torah? That it's eternal. Therefore, it is against the theology of the Torah to say that a Navi could add something. The So if anyone were to come and say, add a mitzvah, subtract a mitzvah, understand a mitzvah totally different. Osha Amar Shosan a mitzvah in Israel, Ainim La Olam Ladori Doris Ella mitzvah lifi Zman Hayu. And they say that the mitzvahs are not forever. Harizi Nabi Sheker. He's false. Shari Bala Hakish Nuvaso Shamosha, because he's contradicting Moshe. Misasu Bachenek, you kill him, Ash Shahizid Lvar the Shem Hashem Ashelotzibo, Shubrach Shemotziva Moshe Shamitz Azor Lon of Lenin and Alam Veloish Elvi Khazev. Vihin Imakar Dabram Dvarm Shlamani Vyashmua Ocean Omar Bidin Medine Tar Shazim Din Kahu Balakh the Reponi Harizin Nabi Ashek Vihonek. And if he tries to paskin halacha, kill him. But temporarily, you do listen to him. Why? So, what is the theology behind Akira Stardom in HaTorah? And now we'll come back to the to Akira's Avodah Torah. Just like Baal Tosef, just Baal Tigra, the fundamental theology that runs through is that the Torah is eternal. Any attack on the Torah, which claims that what? That the Torah is not eternal fundamentally, right, is theologically impossible. The Navi gets killed, right, you don't listen to the Bezin, it's impossible. But what is justifiable? To say what? That we need something now, right? Coming back to the Rambam's mashal, that you can't say, right, that we're going to kill the guy, right? What can you say? Right now he's sick. So what do we have to do? Temporarily, we have to heal the system that is Torah, the Jewish people. And to do that, we have to temporarily violate one thing to bring us back to Torah, because we're always going to go back to that supernal Torah that, you know, exists in the world of the noumena, to talk about Greek philosophy, right? To put it differently, right? Skip down here. To, at the end, before that, I'll just, if you remember, I pointed out before the different ways of reading it. If you look at the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayot, it says explicitly, I put it here in Tzvachim, that he thinks that the reason Akira Sovereign Torah works forever by passive cases is because it's not an Akira, right? He takes that side of the Chakira. The Kesem Mishnah doesn't. And there's a Dian over here. You can look at it inside yourself. Okay. But just to continue on this theological point, if you look at the Rambam here in the Mor Nevucheb, right, Klaver pointed out that the Rambam actually uses the doctor-patient mashal several times in his writing. So one is the one we already read by Kiris Dover Menatera. But if you continue, so the Rambam says, Mor Nevuchem 3:34, among the things that you likewise ought to know is that the Torah does not consider the isolated individual, and the command was not given with the view of a minority of cases. Rather, in everything that is desirable to accomplish, be it an outlook or a character trait or an action that is effective, only the things that are majority are considered, and no action is paid to something that rarely occurs, nor to the damage that will occur to an individual human because of that decree in Torah governance. The Torah, Mayer knows this, we've been doing Mor Nevuchem, right? The Torah, like nature, is set up in generalities. It's good for most people over the course of most of time. Law is natural in that sense, which means that it's not good for everybody at all times. Right? For the Torah, but, and that's not a chisaron, that's just the way law works. Law works in klals, and klals are good for most people, not for everyone. For the Torah is a divine thing, and therefore you can learn about it from natural things. Right? The Torah, since it's divine, and nature is divine, we learn from nature. Now, nature is good for most people, most times, but sometimes there are hurricanes, and sometimes people get sick. But overall, we like the world, right? So true, and we can't contradict the laws of nature, right? So too, with Torah, it doesn't matter whether it's good for you or not, right? Law is law. It's for everybody, even if it isn't actually matim for you. Which the Rambam is open to as a possibility. Whether generally is found them include and necessarily entail private damage has been explained in our words and the words of others. On the basis of this distinction, you should not be astonished that the purposes of the Torah are not fulfilled in every individual. Rather, it follows necessarily that there will be people whom the Torah governance does not bring to perfection, as the form of natural species do not achieve all that necessarily follows from them in each individual member of the species. For everything comes from one deity, one actor, we're given from one shepherd, and the reverse of this is impossible, and we have already explained that the impossible has a fixed nature that will never change. Furthermore, on the basis of this distinction, it would not be proper for the commandments to be influenced by the changing conditions of human beings and the times, in the way that a preparation of medicines is influenced. So now, the Rambam says, because Torah is eternal as law, it's not medicine. Because what is medicine? With each preparation specific to each individual in accordance with his mixture of humors at that particular time, but rather is appropriate for Torah governance to be absolute and completely general, even though this will be negative for some people and not negative for others. For if it were according to the individual, there would be a loss for all, and you would give in your words by degrees. For this reason, it is inappropriate for matters in the Torah aimed at immediate purposes to be bounded by time or place. Rather, the law should be absolute and framed generally. As the exalted said, the congregation, there shall be one statute for you, etc. And their intent is the general utilities which relate to the majority, as we have explained. So the Rambam says, Torah is law, it's not medicine. The practice of medicine definitionally is aimed at the individual in the here and now. Torah is not. Torah was made for the Jewish people over the course of time. And if there happens to be a person in a certain time for whom the Torah is not the best, too bad. In other words, what does the Rambam say here? Torah is not medicine. Now, if you remember, though, Right? What does the Rambam say by Kiryas Arba'in Torah? It is. Well, no, he actually doesn't. Right? If you remember our distinction, well, let's read two more Rambams and come back to it. We look at the Rambam, the next one, in Akdama Nishnayas, he says, Mtsiva Lavatalaj Mitzvah Kol Mitzvah Oshit Tsiva Labaral Sarvanasar Mikol Mitzvah Lo Sase Chayim Lishmol V'Chol Dvarav. Right, we're back to the Navi. If he tells you to violate something in the Torah, V'Chol Dvarav of Chayim Mitzvah Shemaim. If he violates his words, your Chayim Mitzvah Chutz Me'Avad Zarav V'Shem Racham V'Talmud V'Chol Omer L'Chol Navi Avrol De Beitorah Shmalu Chutz Me'Avad Zarav With An Aishal Yikba Zel Adaros. As long as he doesn't say it forever, right? We said this before, right? Right, and here he explains everything that we know. Okay. Did I put it here? Oh, I did not, did I? Fine. So here he just explains what we said before. I'm going to leave that for a second. And then you look at the next one in the Mernevuchim. He says, Chazal have the power to set up zeros that they need to. Kamash Kodva Sushek Latur, Bechin Hutlum Gamkin Lavatok Tsas Masay Atora, Lahatok Tsas and Israel Mandel Fia and Yachad, Fimor Yachad, and they also have the ability to uproot the Torah when they need to. Abolo Yamidul Doros, Moshamar Meseder, Perish and Mishnah Bara Shah, etc. Okay? Now, if we put the Rambams together, right, what's the feeling that you get? Right? Take the mashal. The Torah is not medicine. Why? Because medicine deals with the prop. All right? But what is medicine? Right? Well, what is the medical practice? Akiras, Darman Torah, right? The simple theology of the Rambam is as follows. If you remember, I highlighted the fact that there's a difference between halakha and lamaaseh. Right? The Rambam views lotasur. Views Akiras Darman Torah, Baltosif, Baltigra, Elav Tishman, the Chiv Navi, to work on one theological plane, which is that what? The Torah exists forever. The halakha, meaning the theoretical Torah, exists for all times. But because law can't work for all people over the course of all time, so what do Chacham have the ability to do if they need to?
Change practice.
But they can't do it Lidoros. Why? Because that would change the Torah. Right? Telling you to be Oker Dovah Torah temporarily is an amputation. Right? The implementation of Torah can be like medicine. If I need to heal you, I can. But you can never change the Torah because then it would be denying its divinity. Right? Because the nature of Torah, such that it is eternal, just like nature itself, is that it doesn't change even if it's not the best for everyone at all points in time. Okay. Hold that for a minute. Because I want to make a few general points. Okay. A few more lumdish points on it. Tosfos really does paskin against simple reading the Gemara is that you can be okar dav min haTorah b'kum ba'aseh. In several places he said that. In some places he limits that only to davar adomah. If you uproot the Torah in a way that it seems like it's a daraisa. And Rav Shechter points out, because the reason is sometimes if you don't uproot something, you artificially expand a Torah category. So it doesn't look like you're attacking the Torah, right? In fact, you are changing something, but you're sticking to the basic rubric of the Torah, and that's much. The Yerushalmi also, by the way, paskins lemaskana that you can be okar davar min haTorah b'kum ba'aseh, and that's the Yerushalmi here at the second to last source. Okay, now to make a few general points here. Okay, the sugya is very nice in Lamdos. It's really very neat, right? There's the question in general. There's an institution called Akira Sarvana Torah B'Shevi Al Ta'aseh. Why is Shevi Al Ta'aseh different? Either because it's not an Akira at all, and that's why you can have it for generations, right? When it's passive. Or because, no, it really is an Akira of a lower level, and we're allowed to do the lower level. Why am I allowed to do certain things for generations? Like the Maritz Chayis, because it's necessary. Fine, and then we said, why is there Akira Sarvana Torah? What was the theology behind it? It all comes together to one point, which is the reason that you can't be Oker Davar Min haTorah in such a way that it's actually called an Akira for all of generations is because the theory behind the Torah is that it's eternal. Right? Is that so? If you were to uproot it forever, that would be denying that. And that's why Navi can't do it, that's why Bezdin can't do it. However, temporarily you can, because Dafka, because the Torah is eternal, sometimes that means you need to do something. Right? That's the Rambam's mashal, right? The Torah in theory is not medicine, but in practice, if I need to, it's like here's Sarvana Torah. And it's a Svara Pshuta, it assumes the unity of Torah, it assumes the unity of the Jewish people, right? Maybe it's a function of the Rabbanan's general ability, of Lotasur, of Takanos, whatever. Okay? But what is at the core of the whole thing, right, of Akira Sarvana Torah is that the Torah is eternal. And that, therefore, even if you're going to say that temporarily you need to uproot something, right, you can't attack the eternal nature of the Torah. That is out of bounds. Now, there's a problem, because the ability of Chazal to be Ogir Dov Min HaTorah is definitionally not bound by law, right? The only thing they can't do is do it forever, right? But Chazal could really do whatever they want, at least temporarily, right? So the Rambam at the end points out here, at the end of his perek on Gears of Torah, this is the last source, that Kol Eilu Advarim Lefi Mashiira Adayin Shazeroi Lekach Vashat Sricha V'chol Yu Masav L'Shem Shemayim V'al Yu Kavet Abrios Kal Beinav Sharei Udochas Lozer Shderev, etc. But when you do this, all your actions have to be L'Shem Shemayim. Why? Because once you have the ability to uproot the Torah, that can't be controlled by rules. The only thing it's controlled by is your integrity. Is, are you actually doing it for the sake of Torah or not? Okay? So that's the basic theory as played out through the basic lumdus, basic halachas of Akira Sarvim and Atzara. And just the last minute, the reason this is important sort of to think about is because a lot of times, right, people's critique of, and you know, this is coming back from Ratz Chayes, the reason people get so upset by people who are trying to be Okir Davram and Atzara, so to speak, or I won't go that far, but are trying to change halachic practice, is because there's two ways you could change halachic practice. Right, you could say that the Torah is correct, right? Or more matun, right? I'm not going to say it's a curious amount of the Torah. But the halacha as we've kept it, and the classic interpretations of the Torah are correct, or were justifiable, but right now we need to do something different, because the time needs it. That argument, whether you agree or don't agree, and whether you agree that this is something you need, that is a horaz sha'a, right? Or, you know, as Ariel said before, on a more limited sense, is something that I need to be, right, posek halacha b'sharatach, which is sort of on the same spectrum, just not quite as extreme, where it's something that pushes the limits. I need to push the limits of interpretation. I don't need to uproot the Torah, but I need to push a different type of interpretation. So if I do it with the knowledge that, look, the Torah is eternal, the Torah is right, right now, at this point in time, we need something else at this moment, right? So that, while you might agree or disagree, is not an attack on the Torah at its core. But if you look at the rhetoric that people are saying every time there's a halachic change, their problem is that often they're correct. That the critique is not, oh, right now we need something different, but that the Torah misunderstood this. Chazal were misogynistic. Chazal were xenophobic. Right? That claim, right, even if I could justify reinterpreting a text, right, you're not going to respond to that claim, because that claim challenges the integrity of the Torah per se. So if you look at the rhetoric about around these things, you'll see it's the same ideas going behind this. That there's two ways you could approach saying that we need a change, or we need to reinterpret the halacha as it's been practiced. One is to say, that was totally right, but right now, for whatever reasons, we need to do something else. But the Torah is right, but the Torah has... there's mishutin, there's flexibility, we can figure it out. And then they're saying, no, something was always misunderstood. That second one is philosophically related to the problem behind Baltosef, Baltigra, why Akira Sarvana Torah can't be eternal, and that's what engenders all this sort of negative response to it. So the reason this is important is not because of the practical things that we'll see next week, when we're actually Dovermana Torah, is because at a more minimal level, of psikar halacha b'sharat chak, of figuring out when it's justifiable to rely on minority positions that weren't classically accepted, it's the same philosophical problems. And you have to make sure that when you're doing it, if you do it, it's because you recognize that there's a tzorech right now, and not because you think that there was something fundamentally flawed in the Torah, because then you've stepped out of bounds. So,